good nooning.
Do you have a dream?
What is this?
Pardon my French, but you're an a**hole.
It's not a tumor.
That is what they have been saying, you idiot.
Hello? Anybody home? Hey!
Man.
Wait, let me explain something to you.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the So To Speak podcast, a show about anything and nothing with a special interest for podcasting, radio and audio in general. And all our content comes with an accent because, as you know, everything sounds better with an accent. At least that's what we think. I'm Load Rules, audio freak, news junkie, communicator and European Canadian. So, this is episode number 2, and first of all, I want to thank all of you for the great feedback, the great comments we had after our first episode, after the inaugural episode we recorded. A lot of encouragement I received on Twitter, a lot of shout-outs and retweets, so thank you very much for that, and I think I've given credit where credit is due. And by that I mean that I've given everybody his own or her own shout out and retweet if you encouraged me on Twitter. If I did not and if I forgot you, then please let me know and I'll rectify it and I'll give you a shout out, a last minute shout out after that first inaugural episode of the So To Speak show. And as expected, obviously, I did get some questions about my accent because that's pretty obvious and it's actually a baseline of our show. Some people were asking, are you French? A lot of people apparently thought I was German, and I get the comment quite a lot when they hear me speak in English. They think I'm German. There was one person that said, are you Scandinavian? Are you from Northern Europe? No, I am not. We'll put it on the table for once and for all. My accent, the accent you're hearing right now, is Dutch. And I'm not from Holland. I'm not from the Netherlands. I'm from Belgium. I'm actually from the northern part of Belgium where the language is Dutch. Dutch is the majority language in Belgium. 60% of the folks there speak Dutch. And that's my native language. So the accent you're hearing is not German. It's not French. It's not Scandinavian. It's Dutch. Now, to be very honest, I was a little afraid about podcasting in English as a non-native speaker. The accent issue was always in the back of my head because, to be very honest, I didn't know how it would turn out. And there's actually a theory I have about podcasting in English when you're a non-native speaker. So when English is your second language and you want to do a podcast in English, I have a theory about it. And I will be glad to share that in the second half of the show. As I've told in my first episode, I want to put all the podcast related and technical blah blah, let's put it that way, in the second half of the show. Not to scare away people that are listening for the first time. So if you're interested in my theory about podcasting in English as a non-native speaker, stick around and I'll tell you all about it in the second half of the show. By the way, I have another quiz for you right now, also a little bit podcast related. I'm actually using a new device, a new piece of equipment to record this. What do you think it is? Well, don't answer me now. It's impossible to answer me now because I'm recording this and you're listening to this not live, but think about it for a minute or for a few minutes and I will tell you what the new tool, what the new device is that I'm using to record this episode in the second half of the show, again, when we're talking about podcasting. Now, I want to return for a little while back to the accent issue because, like I said, I was a little worried about it and I thought, well, it's our baseline. Everything sounds better with an accent, but does it actually sound better? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it does. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can believe CNN if that's a more credible source. I found an article of CNN. CNN Travel did this article. And the title of the article is 12 of the most sexiest accents in the world. Now, that's what I call a compelling title. That's a real good story. So I clicked on it, obviously, and I started to read. And apparently, things do sound better with an accent. Some of them are funny, some of them are scary, but overall, accents are intriguing. And I encourage you to visit that article and to read about the 12 most sexiest accents in the world. And you know what? Dutch isn't part of it. There are really nice accents, some of them obscure accents, and some of them accents you wouldn't think they are there in that list, but Dutch isn't one of them. And I never considered my accent as being sexy, and CNN tells me that I'm right, that my feeling is right. It's not among the world's most sexiest accents, so I can forget about it. Now, I'm not going to read all of the 12 accents in there. I encourage you to read the article yourself. But I am going to do the top five. So the five most sexiest accents in the world. And you might guess what's number 1, 2, and 3. I think it's pretty obvious, but still I want to go over over the list here. So the five most sexiest accents in the world. Number 5 is Nigerian. And it's funny because the article actually lists the accents and then tries to put a label to it, tries to describe what they sound like. And under Nigerian, they say it sounds like the THX intro with teeth. Now, thank God there's YouTube, and on YouTube you can find basically everything you want. And I found an example of the Nigerian accent. So number 5, the Nigerian accent sounds like this.
So every morning I wake up to the sound of nothing, but I figure this is nonsense. I should at least hear something. Good morning, son. Good morning, babe. Or even, good morning, dad. So I look to my left and I look to my right and no one is there. But I look up, and you guys know who is there.
Sounds like THX intro with teeth. I don't know exactly what they're supposed to say with that, but that's Nigerian for you. Nigerian English accent. That's number 5. Number 4 is Czech. And with the description, they say it sounds like Count Dracula, secret agent. Now judge for yourself. This is a student in Czech.
I need English language for my job, and my boss decided it will be better for me studying abroad than in the Czech Republic. And I don't have a lot of time for studying the Czech Republic. I must quickly improve my English.
There you go. I wouldn't really call it a sexy accent, and maybe it has to do with the fact that it's a 40-year-old student who is talking and who is doing the accent. But still, if it was a female talking in Czech, I don't know. Maybe I have to hear it and I have to see it, because it's not really appealing to me right now. Obviously, it's an accent, and obviously, I can hear that it's not a native speaker. But I don't know about number 4, Czech accent. Number 3. Now it gets interesting. Number 3 is you know what? I'm gonna just play the clip, and you can figure out yourself what accent we're talking about.
I am an English student, and this video is to get some feedback about my accent and pronunciation in English. I would greatly appreciate your comments about the matter.
Well, this was a no-brainer to me, obviously. He gave it away when he said that this is a video and not a video. And that's typically for Spanish-speaking people. So number 3 in the hit list of the most sexiest accents in the world is Spanish. And according to CNN Travel, it sounds like an outboard motor on Lake Paella. Now, I think that's funny. It really is. And if I offend you by this, I'm sorry, but I have some comments about my own accent. And I'm an immigrant myself. I'm a foreigner myself. So I can rightfully do this. Spanish number 3. We're moving in and we're closing in on number 1 there. But first, number 2. And number 2, the accent in this spot is sounding like, or it sounds like, a 30-year-old teenager. That's what the journalist wrote when he was writing this article. So number 2 sounds like a 30-year-old teenager. What it is? Well, it's French.
Hi everybody. In this video, I will show you my French accent. I think that you can hear it. And I would like to know if you can understand me, or if it's difficult to understand what I say.
All right, now, up until the French accent, I had trouble understanding what was so sexy about the accents we've heard. But now, for the first time,
I can relate with it, and I can see how it is possible for an accent to be sexy. And it's not because the lady I saw in the video making this video, the French lady recording this video, was very pretty. There's nothing to do with it. All right, well, maybe something to do with it, but it was not the deciding factor. The deciding factor is that it just sounds sexy, and I can do a little bit of the French accent, and I won't bother you with that one right now, but it sounds really sexy to me. The French accent, number two. So, what do you think is the most sexiest accent in the world? What is the language of love? And what does sound like a Ferrari saxophone? That's what they say in the article. Well, it's Italian, of course. It sounds like this.
We pronounce everything. If there is two consonants, we pronounce them both. Not pizza. It's pizza, bruschetta, bella. It's most important in Italiano to fill every sound. Put all your energy, your juice, your body into every vowel, every consonant.
Now, that's what you call a sexy accent. That really is sexy, to be very honest. So, rightfully earned number one spot there in that hit list I got from the CNN travel website. Italian is rightfully the number one, and is rightfully the most sexiest accent in the world. Let's talk for a minute about podcasting. It's one of my favorite pastimes. It's, a serious hobby, let's put it that way. I am listening to podcasts, to a lot of podcasts, and I'm recording podcasts. I'm actually doing this right now. Now, I told you in the beginning of the episode that there was a new tool, there was a new device I am using to record this. It's not a new mixer, it's not a new recorder as such, it's not a new USB codec or something else like a new headphone. No, it's actually this thing here. The one I'm using to speak to you. It's a new microphone. Now, I bought myself an ATR, Audio-Technica, ATR 2100 USB/XLR microphone. Now, you might ask yourself, why on earth are you buying another microphone? I already have a Neumann TLM 102, which is a very good, expensive, but it's a very good microphone. So I had that one, that's a condenser microphone, and then I had a great dynamic microphone, a broadcast microphone, the Rode Procaster, not the Rode Podcaster, which has a USB cable and a USB connection, but it's the Rode Procaster, it's the XLR version of that microphone. So two very, very nice microphones, one dynamic, more for radio broadcasting, the other one, the Neumann, is a condenser microphone. It's really a sensitive microphone, more for voiceover work. So why do you need an extra microphone? Why do you need the ATR 2100? Well, that's what my wife said as well. But here's the thing. For a while now, I was looking for a really lightweight, handheld, dynamic microphone that I could use when I'm traveling or when I go somewhere and I have to do an interview and I need a real microphone instead of my portable Tascam recorder. And sure, I can take one of the two microphones, but the Neumann really is not a good microphone for on the road. You don't want to take a $700 microphone in your luggage and carry it all around the country. And the Rode Procaster, well, it's a very nice microphone, but it's a brick. It's really heavy, trust me. It's long, it's heavy, it's not handy to take anywhere. It can actually serve as a murder weapon. You can just imagine the scene in the courtroom, right? Your Honor, I would like to present a murder weapon in this case. It is a Rode Procaster microphone. It was used to smash the victim's skull on that fatal Friday night in the studio. So you know what I mean, right? It's just a brick. It's a heavy machinery that you don't want to take everywhere with you. So I was looking for another microphone, and then I came across this ATR 2100, read about it on internet, and heard nothing but good things actually about it. So that's when I decided to purchase this. I really like it for several reasons. First of all, because it has a dual output. It has a USB / XLR output. So I can use it when I'm on the road and I need to connect it directly to my computer to do a recording. But also I can use it as a classic XLR microphone. That's the configuration I'm using right now. So it's going just with an XLR cable right into my mixer like any other microphone. So you can use it in both settings. And if you're a beginning podcaster, or even if you're already podcasting and you're looking for an extra microphone, please consider the ATR2100, because it offers that dual connectivity thing, USB XLR. That's really nice. And the other thing why I like it is, well, because it sounds very good. Now, it doesn't sound as good as my Rode Procaster. To be very honest, I did a few tests for the past few days. There's a slight difference. This one sounds a little more muddy in the low end. And the Rode Procaster is really a brilliant microphone. But still, for the price, it's really, really nice. I paid about $250 for my Rode Procaster. It sounds very, very good. And for this one right here, the one I'm using right now, the one you're listening to right now, this has cost me $45 on Amazon, and I mean the price difference is huge, $200, but you can't really hear it. You really have to be a freak and a technical guy like me to actually hear the difference. So very nice microphone to have as an extra microphone in your microphone cabinet. And I don't have any stock or don't have a participation in this, and I'm not making a cent for doing this. It's just my honest opinion about this new microphone. Now, I will do, and I'm planning to do, a microphone shout out, because I really want you to listen to the difference between this microphone I'm looking at right now, the ATR2100, and then the Rode Procaster on my left. And on my right, I can see him there lying. It's the Neumann TLM-102 microphone. So I will do that microphone shout out. Will be interesting. Then you can immediately hear the difference, and you can judge for yourself what is the best microphone. Now, I'm sure to get some comments on Twitter of people saying, oh my God, you have a Neumann TLM-102. Why don't you use that microphone for anything you do, for podcasting, for example? Why are you using... if you're a Neumann fan, I would say an inferior microphone to do podcasting. Well, there's a very good reason for that, and it is the fact that I am sitting here in a corner of my office with a few homemade acoustic panels, but not really any sound isolation. You can hear the road probably in the background. It's an untreated room. It's basically a corner in my office with a few screens to dampen the sound. And I'm telling you, and I will do it in the microphone shout-out, and you will hear what I'm talking about. If I'm using the Neumann TLM-102 to record my podcasts and to talk to you in this room, in this untreated acoustical room, you will have trouble digesting the sound, because it picks up everything and you will hear everything, and that's not professional. Just, I mean, even the cars in the background you hear right now, or some noises in my house, even if you hear that through this microphone, I think it's not really professional. And I aim to strive for better sound, perfect sound, as a radio guy all my life. Have been a radio guy. I think it's important for me to try to deliver top quality sound. All right, before I start plugging one or two podcast shows today, I want to share a great audio clip that talks about the difference between classic radio, terrestrial radio, and podcasting. I'm going to let you listen to an audio clip from Basement Broadcast. They call themselves the funniest podcast that you've never heard. Get the best in sports, beer, fatherhood, and guy talk from a basement bar in Chicago's South Side. Now, the host of this Basement Broadcast podcast is Chris, and he's a former morning radio host in the Chicago area, and he's more or less in the same situation as I am. He's a former radio host that has discovered podcasting and really started to believe in the power of podcasting. And Chris, at the beginning of one of the episodes of Basement Broadcast, really puts the finger on it, and he really tells you the reason podcasting is growing while traditional radio is dying. I think it's a very inspirational quote. It's 6 minutes, so it's quite a big audio clip. But I encourage you to listen very carefully to what Chris, this former radio guy, has to say about podcasting. It's interesting, and I think it's true. Here we go.
I want to kind of start interacting with the other podcast. I think that over the first few years of doing this show, as a former radio morning show host, you know, who was in many, many markets across the country and then walked away from the profession, stopped broadcasting altogether, got the itch after several years, and then just started hanging out with some of his friends and doing a podcast, I think I'm finally starting to wrap my head around podcasting. Because it's much, much different than radio. And I've gone from sitting around and thinking that, you know, well, this is pretty stupid, but maybe it's a good way for me to practice. And, you know, I've kind of said to myself, maybe I should get back into radio again. Maybe I should send off tapes to people. Maybe I should get back into the thing that I really, really love, which is radio broadcasting. But now what I'm starting to realize is that I think that podcasting and internet radio may actually be the wave of the future. And I, by mistake, have caught this wave. And I'm not mired down in terrestrial radio broadcasting. Because I decided, as just a listener, you know, after you step away from radio for so long and you listen to what's going on radio stations. I mean, I'm in a major market. I'm the number three market in the nation. I'm in Chicago, Illinois. There's so many stations here. There's so many personalities. This is cutthroat. But it's also a boys club. It's also some guy gets fired and gets picked up even though he was the worst rated guy in the town. He's got friends. He gets picked up someplace else 6 months later. They never really rotate the talent out of here. They don't get a lot of new talent in here. And everybody pretty much sounds the same. And I think that's happening all across the country. It's become more vanilla. Nobody wants to say anything that's going to be controversial. Nobody wants to speak their mind. Or they speak their mind, but it's artificial. They're purposely trying to say something incendiary so that they can get noticed. Because terrestrial radio is, I think, in my opinion, dying. And it all really started when they changed the way that they did the ratings. It used to be that they would send out a ratings book. And you would get the ratings book and you would have it for a week. And everybody in the world, I did it, would sit around and say, okay, everybody gets their ratings books on Thursday. I'm going to do the biggest thing I could possibly do on a Thursday morning. And that way, they're all excited. They got their book. They're ready to start filling out who they listen to. And Lanuti is doing something insane over there. So then they would listen, and they would write me down. And if I can get them through Friday, they've written me down on Thursday and Friday, and then they forget about the book for the weekend. And then they come back, and it's like, you know, about time to finish off their book, and they got to mail it in so they can get their $6 from the Arbitron rating system or whatever. And they're like, holy crap, I didn't fill out my book. And so they look, and they go, well, you know, I've listened to Lanuti a lot, and, you know, I probably listened to him the rest of the week, too. And so they just fill me in. And that's how Stern would get it, so that people would say they listened to him for 3 hours straight. You know, that's how some of these shows like Bob and Tom and these other big market shows would get these things where it would look like that people listen forever. And then when they came out these personal people meters, which is like a pager that actually picks up a signal behind the people who are talking on the radio, they were actually able to measure what everybody probably really knew was true in the first place. People flip around and listen for like 10 minutes to this guy and 20 minutes to this guy and get lost in a commercial for a while and then forget to go back to their favorite guy because something else is happening. And the ratings changed astronomically. And then you get all these guys that used to make millions of dollars and somebody says, you're really not worth $5 million, big guy. And they're gone. And that's why Stern jumped to Sirius. And that's why I think radio has kind of changed. And now everybody's being really vanilla. And then you have other people that are on there that I don't think are the most talented people, but they're willing to sit in there and not make any money for 20 years. And they're willing to live in their parents' basement and they're willing to do crap jobs. And then eventually they're the only person around the radio station who knows how to turn on a microphone. They're like, hey, you know, Bob over there has been, you know, hitting buttons on the radio board for 20 years. And, you know, rather than go out and hire somebody that like, you know, do a search and have to actually pay somebody, Bob will probably do it for free. He's been waiting to get on the air for 20 years. And then that guy's actually on your terrestrial radio station. I don't think it takes a lot of skill anymore to get on there. And that's not an insult to people that I know that are in radio. I know lots of guys in radio who I have a lot of respect for. Okay. I know guys that are in it that are still doing it. And I'm not saying that what they're doing is bad. And I still think there are good radio people out there, but I think there's a lot of bad out there. And I think that the whole Baseball Hall of Fame discussion this week in Chicago on sports radio and nationwide has really pointed out to me the difference between terrestrial radio and social media / podcasting / internet stations. I think that the more intelligent people are actually out there voicing their opinion, even though it doesn't seem like anybody's listening because there's just so many opinions out there. But you hear some of the more compelling stuff from people who are actually out there and aren't part of the machine, who aren't some guy who got paired up with an ex-athlete that doesn't know how to put three words together. But he's an ex-athlete, and we need to know what the locker room would feel about this. Give me a break. I'm so sick of looking at ex-athletes on TV. I'm sick of looking at listening to ex-athletes on the radio. I'm sick of listening to guys that sound like mopes, but they can sit around and say, and then you know what we used to do? We'd snap Joey Joe's jockstrap, and then somebody laughs because they're just looking for any kind of comedy that they could suck out of their cast and put on there. Nothing's natural anymore. So I have now felt in my mind what I need to do is start throwing myself further into podcasting. I think it's the way to go. I want to make friends. I wasn't really like that the first few years of doing this. Because when you're in radio, you're against everybody. You fight with everybody. You fight with the people on your own station because you got to be the biggest dog on your station so you can get the most money. And then you fight with everybody else in town because you want to crush them in the ratings. So you don't really, really want to connect with people. You don't really promote other people. But now I feel like what podcasting needs to do is actually start kind of, you know, banding together, man. Start forming some networks, okay? Start finding a way to take shows that are similar to yours. You talk about them, they talk about you. Build a listener base. Suck these people who are still stuck listening to terrestrial radio away and get them to be a part of this new phenomenon. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing things in this country. And nobody's been able to figure out a way to make money at it yet. But eventually somebody is. And this is the train to be on. Now, that doesn't say that if some radio station came along and said, Chris, we're going to give you $100,000 to come bring your podcast to our radio station, I wouldn't say, sure. But I want to keep the podcast too. That'd be my only caveat. I would never give this up. The freedom of it is absolutely amazing. And I think that's what makes it unique.
There you go. This was Chris, former morning radio host in Chicago and the host right now of the Basement Broadcast podcast. Really nice show, by the way. And what he said, I think it's so true and I can relate with it very much. And I just had to show you, I just had to share this audio clip with you guys because I think it's important that we think about it. By the way, if you want to check out Basement Broadcast, you can find them on iTunes and do them a favor. Listen to it and write a review. It always helps for us podcasters. All right, so that was kind of a plug. I just did Basement Broadcast and 6 minutes of their show. So there's one more show I would like to plug today. I would like to promote in this episode. It's the Warp 10 podcast. Why this particular podcast? Well, you don't know me. You probably don't know me, but I'm telling it to you right now. I am a big Star Trek fan. I'm more a fan of the later series, not so much the original series, because that was before my time. I'm more a fan of the Next Generation, Voyager, and Enterprise. And as such, I think it's a really great podcast, that Warp 10 podcast. The concept is pretty simple. A Star Trek fan, Neil Payne, and his friend Joe Klaus, who is absolutely not a Star Trek fan. Well, he's not against it, obviously, but he is a relative newcomer to the franchise, as they say. They sit together twice a week and they discuss episodes that they just viewed, and they start chronologically in the Star Trek events timeline. So they start with the very first episode of Enterprise, Star Trek Enterprise, and then after that it's going to be the original series, and then the Next Generation, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, and then somewhere in between also all the movies, the Star Trek movies. So they just follow the Star Trek timeline. They're watching episodes one by one, and after each episode they just discuss that particular episode of a particular season, and they talk about what they found good and bad about it. Why I like this? Well, because first of all, I'm a Star Trek fan. It's a great concept, a Trekkie and a non-Trekkie together, and the idea of starting chronologically and then work your way through all the episodes of the franchise is really amazing. And I've heard the numbers a few times, but I always forget. But I think they mentioned once that if they would do one episodes per week, then it would take them more than 20 years to actually finish all the episodes, because if you add all the episodes together, The Next Generation, Original Series, Enterprise, Voyager, Deep Space Nine, what have you not, then you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of episodes, and that's exactly what they're planning to do. They're going to review all these episodes and they're going to discuss it. It's also great audio, it's also great podcast, because there's a real chemistry and interaction between the two, and they often get sidetracked and they discuss other movies, other series. They even discuss big questions in life, or you can have a discussion about Star Trek technology, why the warp drive works like this, or sometimes they just talk about and they rant about their personal life. But it's really, really great because there's a good chemistry between the two, and the Star Trek episodes are a red thread between all these episodes, and I just like the concept and I like listening to it. It's very entertaining. It's explicit, though. It can be explicit, and it is explicit often, but I don't mind, and if you don't mind, I invite you to check out Warp 10 Podcast. We'll put a link in our own show notes, and you can find them, obviously, also on iTunes or on Google. If you type it in, probably you'll end up at their site. But instead of me rambling on about the show, what's the best way to appreciate it? Well, listen to a little audio clip. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Warp 10, the infinite Star Trek podcast. This is the only show to explore the Star Trek Prime Universe in chronological order, starting with Broken Bow in 2151 and finishing with Nemesis in 2379. I'm your host, Neil, an avid Trekker since 1990, and I'm joined every week by Joe, a relative newcomer to the franchise, encountering most episodes for the first time and bringing an outsider's perspective to the show. Be warned, we will be spoiling every episode and film, along with many shows from outside of Star Trek. This will be the most honest, open, controversial, and explicit Star Trek review podcast out there. So, prepare to engage Transwarp Drive, because we're hitting Warp 10. This week, Breaking the Ice.
Yep.
Episode, I don't know, 8?
I don't know.
Of Enterprise?
We're really on board with this. We know exactly what's going on.
What do you think?
Yeah, it was all right. It was an all right episode.
Yeah.
But do you know why?
Why?
Straight back to character drama.
I was wondering about halfway through if you were going to be happier with the amount of character stuff.
Yeah, I'm much happier with the character drama.
Yeah.
Because I'm just watching people I don't know in a crisis so far.
Yeah.
As soon as I get to know them, I'm going to start caring when these things happen to them.
Alright, so there's one last thing I wanted to share with you, and that's my theory of podcasting for non-native speakers. Remember, I mentioned it in the beginning of this show, and I want to share some details with you about it right now. I think there is a theory and a system almost for people that are not Anglophone, that are not English speaking, or English is not their native language when they do podcasts. I think it's actually harder for them to survive and to make sure their podcast is listened to. And that's because I think that listening to a podcast, and here it comes, here's my theory, listening to a podcast is like a scale, like a balance you're looking at. And on one side of the scale, there's the platter with the positive things. And on the other side of the scale, there's the platter, the scale, the little tableau with the negative things. And what makes you decide to listen and keep listening to a podcast, that's when the scale is in balance or tilts to the positive side. If it tilts to the negative side, then you're quitting this podcast. You're not listening to this podcast anymore. Now look at the things to put on the scale. So really, imagine this scale. What can you put in the scale? There's content. That's a main reason to listen to a podcast. If the content is interesting, if you like what you hear, if it's making you laugh, if it's making you cry in a some kind of positive way, then you keep listening to a podcast. The content is king. That's an old saying, but I think it's true. So that's something you can put in, well, the positive scale, hopefully, but if it's a negative, if it's really not interesting, you put it on the negative side, on the minus side, and then it might tilt over to negative side, and then you're not listening to the podcast anymore. So that's element number one. Element number two to put on the scale is the sound. It is a fact of life. If you don't really appreciate the professional sound, if a podcast sounds terrible, if, for example, I do this and I start recording this from a distance, it's very hard to get my message to you. So the sound quality and the way it sounds is another major reason why you would or you would not listen to a podcast. So that's another element to put on the scale. And you know what? If the content is great and if it's really interesting, but the sound is horrifying you, well, after a while, you'll just quit the podcast. Believe me, it's happened to me a few times. I like a podcast and I really want to listen to it, but the sound is so bad that I give up after a while. So that's element number two, the sound. And then there is the proximity factor, I call it. That's the fact of knowing the person or not knowing the person. If you're listening to a podcast and if you know the person personally, if it's your uncle or if you met the guy at a convention or if there's any other relationship between you, then you are more inclined to listen to him or her because there's the proximity factor and you know the person and it's harder to give up on somebody you actually know. So that's element number three, relationship with the person, the proximity factor to listen to a podcast. So going back to number one, content, number two, sound, and number three, the proximity factor, so the relationship to the person. All these three elements are put into the scale. And if the content is really good, but the sound sucks and you don't know the person, well, it tilts to the negative side. If the sound is really good and the content is great, there are two elements on the positive side, you will keep listening to it. Now, the baseline of my theory is this. The accent is also an element in there. The quality of the voice and the accent are a package deal. And if the scale is in balance and if you really don't like the accent, it might be something that could tip over the balance of the scale. So here's the thing. If you are a non-native speaker and you're podcasting, you have to work on that extra element. And that extra element can be in your favor or to your disadvantage. And it's extra hard because people might quit because of that accent. That's an extra element that native speakers don't have on the scale. And it can work both ways. It can tip the scale towards the negative side or the positive side. It can make a difference between I keep listening to this podcast or, oh my God, this sounds horrible and I'm quitting right now. So that's my theory about podcasting for not native speakers. I hope it makes sense. It does when I'm telling it to you here and now, but let me know on Twitter if it makes sense or not, if that's an element. If you're non-native English, not English-speaking podcaster, I would love to hear from you and share some ideas about this. All right, so I hope that I can put my accent in the scale, in your personal podcasting scale, and it makes a difference to the positive side. I surely hope it does, and I surely hope you keep listening to the So To Speak podcast. It's time to wrap things up for today. You can find us, as you know, on sotospeakshow.blogspot.com, sotospeakshow.blogspot.com, or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is sotospeakshow, and not So To Speak, because if you type in So To Speak, you'll end up in a completely different world. So To Speak Show on Twitter. Now, another thing, iTunes is where you can find virtually every podcast, and it's the place where you can make or break a show. iTunes ratings and reviews are very important for a podcast, especially if you're a beginning podcaster. So we invite you to give us a rating or provide a review. It would help us a great deal. Thank you very much for your support. Until the next time, So To Speak.
Good.
Oh yeah, before I forget, if you like what you hear, this is how you can support the show. You can send us a brown envelope with unmarked dollar bills. The address is 4158 Kennedy Boulevard, I'm just kidding. It's actually a lot easier. Just go to our website and click the Amazon logo before you go shopping on Amazon. It won't cost you anything, and we get a few cents when you buy your stuff through our link. So we would be grateful if you bookmarked that link or clicked the Amazon logo on our site. That's at solospeak.blogspot.com. So solospeak.blogspot.com. It's in the left top corner of your screen. Thank you.